Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. InshaAllah, I wanted to introduce our first speaker without any further delay, inshaAllah. We have joining us from Seattle, Washington, Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya, who's been teaching with the Al-Maghrib Institute now for about 2 years, and he's an imam and teacher of Masjid Jamil Muslimin in Seattle. The Sheikh is actually in his background from Vietnam, and he studied in the Islamic University of Medina at a similar time when Brother Mahdi Sharif and Yasser Qadi and Yasser Bajas were all there. So you can say they were kind of like buddies there, roommates, friends. Two classes he's taught in the Al-Maghrib Institute already, well, one that he's completed in most of the cities and one that's beginning, are the Purification Act, which was the guide to fiqh of purification and prayer, and now the Collector's Edition, which is going to be an introductory class to Sahih al-Bukhari. The Sheikh's specialty, especially with the Al-Maghrib Institute, will be the classes related to fiqh, sharia, and hadith. He himself has studied extensively the madhabs of Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad, and he was telling me I grew up Shafi. So with the three at least, there was some good proficiency. The program we have today is called The Divine Compass, and it's about the Salat al-Istikhara. Some of you might have heard of it under a different title, which might be a little more interesting, and it'll have some twists today, but similar topic, which he gave in Kabila Durba. It was also in Salat al-Istikhara, and it was called He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. So the connection was more directed towards love. Also, Kabila Durba, one thing about them, every program, no matter what the subject, even Seerah, they connect it to love. So whenever they invite the Shaykh, it's always about love or marriage. They said that's what we're interested in here. So, inshallah, without any further delay, we'll have the Shaykh give this talk.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن شاء الله سبحانه وتعالى in today's talk I'll speak about صلاة الاستخارة and as Brother Irtiza mentioned concerning speaking about صلاة الاستخارة we always think about when we think about istikhara, it's always like about marriage. And so, any lecture or any topic that has marriage in it, inshallah, you get people's attention. But there are two main topics that will always get people's attention. Marriage and jinn. So the third topic, I think we should have a third topic that will keep everybody awake, which is jinn marriage. So you combine the two goods, inshallah. So, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. With Salat al-Istikhara, there are so many misconceptions concerning how to pray it, when to pray it, how many times to pray this particular prayer. And it's so important, but there are so many misconceptions and misunderstandings concerning Salat al-Istikhara. And in Islam, when we make decisions and everything that we do, we always return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of everything. Last night, for those who attended the program at Al-Huda, Sheikh Muhammad Sharif, he mentioned about going through life with a GPS. If you had a GPS system, every time you get lost, it would tell you like off route. Rerouting or something like that. You got to go to the left or to the right and so forth. If there was ever a GPS system, Islamic GPS system for your lives, it's Salat al-Istikhara. Because Salat al-Istikhara is divine guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe the more appropriate topic or the title of this, the Islam, instead of the divine compass, is the divine GPS, inshallah subhanahu. Maybe the next time we'll entitle it that way. Because when you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for guidance, and if you are sincere in that aspect, then inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala you have a great tool. Imagine every decision that you make, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will always be the best for you. How many decisions have we made in the past that we now regret? How many decisions? Just think about the decisions that we have made that we actually have regretted doing or following. Now, think, did we pray istikhara when we made those decisions? If we prayed istikhara when we made those decisions, we will never regret, because there will be divine guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He'll guide us to that which is more appropriate and that which is best. And so that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught istikhara to the companions, just like he taught the ayat of the Qur'an, because of its significance and because of its importance also. And in this world, in this society in general, in every society, there are ways in which people make decisions. Sometimes people make decisions according to their signs, you know, astrological signs. If they're Pisces or Aries or whatever it is, and then they read these things that people write on the newspapers, and sometimes they make decisions off of that. And these people who are writing these things, they don't even know anything. It's just, to them, they're just writing anything that they feel that might be general, fit the general public, and it's just pretty much, there's nothing firm or principles that they base their writings and so forth on. And some people, they make their decisions, like some Muslims, they make the decisions, they say, they'll use the musabbaha, and do the tasbih, you know, we say subhanallah, they'll use that, I shouldn't. And then in America, of course, you get the rose petal, right? You say, he loves me not, he loves me, and he loves me not, and so forth. He doesn't like me, uh-oh, I don't think I should get married to this particular person. So people make decisions different way. And all of these decisions, all these methods and ways that people use to make decisions, they're just trivial. They are of no basis, no benefit whatsoever. And how can, we ourselves are humans, and we're putting our trust in these petals. I mean, it doesn't even make sense logically or by reason. It doesn't even make sense at all. And the Arabs, they used to do the same thing. They used to do what's called azlam. And they used to pick, they used to use divination with arrows. And they used to pick such and such. If they had the long arrow or the short stick or the long stick, they would travel or not travel. And sometimes they would wait and wait for signs. So if a bird was traveling, or a black bird or a crow or something like that was traveling, and if they saw it flying, the first bird that they saw flying towards the east or towards the west or north or south or whatever it is, they would base their decisions on whether to travel or whether to get married or whether to start a business or so forth on these birds, like the flights or the way or the direction of the flights of these birds. And of course, Islam, when Islam came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade all of that. Allah subhanahu says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُحِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu says, haram for you are the meats of animals that haven't been slaughtered Islamically, and then blood and the لَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ, the swine. And also in the end, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَن تَسْتَقْسِمُوا بِالْأَزْلَامِ, and that you use divinations with arrows. ذَلِكُمْ فِسْقٌ, indeed that is indeed a transgression and a great sin. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in Sahih Bukhari, in a hadith which is Sahih, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the Kaaba and he saw that there was a picture of Prophet Ibrahim alaihi salam and Ismail, and in their hands were these arrows that they used to use to decide matters. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qatalahum Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them. لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا أَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَسْتَقْسِمَا بِهَا أَبَدًا." They indeed knew that Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail, they never used these methods. They never used divinations with arrows and so forth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيَلِجَ الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى مَنْ تَكَهَنَا وَاسْتَقْسَمَ أَوْ رَجَعَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ تَطَيُّرًا. A person will not reach the highest level. In other words, he will not enter paradise if he goes and does fortune telling, or practices fortune telling, or awistaqsama, or uses these methods like divination with arrows and so forth, aw raja'a min safarin tatayyura, or if he sees a bird flying and so forth, and he goes back and he doesn't travel because of that, because of these signs and so forth. So this is not part of Islam, and Islam teaches to solely put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things that can be put together with istikhara is istishara. Istishara is consultation. You consult with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you consult with your Muslim brothers and your Muslim sisters if you are going to decide in an affair. And if somebody asks you for an advice, then it becomes something of an obligation upon you to advise them if you know it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Haqq al-Muslim ala al-Muslim sitt." The rights of a Muslim upon another Muslim is six, and one of which he said, "Idha istansahaka fansahu." If he asks you for advice, then give him advice. So consultation and giving each other advices when making decisions is also a part of Islam. And of course, our deen is based upon nasiha. Our deen is based upon nasiha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of the scholars have mentioned, they said, "Ma nadima min istikhara al-khaliq wa shawara al-makhluqin." A person will never regret if he prays istikhara, if he consults or prays istikhara and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best, and he consults with the people. So there are two things. You have to pray istikhara and consult. You can do either one or the other first. It doesn't really matter. The scholars have mentioned you can ask for advice and then pray istikhara, or you can pray istikhara and ask for advice. Either way, and after that, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should just go forward with it. And you know, when we pray istikhara, you only are allowed to pray istikhara on affairs or on matters that are allowable. So you can't pray istikhara on affairs that are haram, because you're not supposed to do them anyways. Like for example, if somebody wants to go, he's about to go to Las Vegas, he's deciding on whether to go gambling in Las Vegas or not. He goes, "Let me pray istikhara, should I go or not?" You don't have to pray istikhara on things that are haram, because they're haram and you're not supposed to do them to start with. So you only pray istikhara on things that are mubah, or things that are makruh. Things that are disliked and things that are makruh, those matters you don't pray istikhara on whether to do them or to leave them. And you do not pray istikhara on things that are obligatory. Let's say for example, you owe somebody money and you know you have to pay them back. Say, "Should I pay this person back or not? Let me pray istikhara." No, you owe them, it's obligatory upon you to pay. Or should I pray or shouldn't I pray? Should I fast or shouldn't I fast? You don't pray istikhara on those matters because they are obligatory upon you and you have to pray. You have to do them. And also on the things that are recommended. If they're sunnah, you should always do them. If they are sunnah, you should always do them, and you don't need to pray istikhara in that matter. But if there are two things that are considered mubah, meaning you're allowed to do them, whether you do them or not, or whether you leave that particular matter or do that particular matter, it's permissible for you either way. So in these affairs, that's when it's permissible, and that's when you should pray al-istikhara. And when we pray istikhara, for example, you know, getting married to this person or that person, or whether you should get married right now or continue your studies and so forth, these affairs, you consult with those of knowledge. And when you consult with people who have experience, or consult with people who have previous experience, or they have knowledge, or they're specialized in that particular matter or that particular affair. And so consulting with the people and then praying istikhara, if you do these two things, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never regret if you start when you make those decisions. And with the istikhara, another thing is, when do you say the istikhara, and when do you say the dua al-istikhara, and how you say them? And to get the answer to this question, we have to read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, in which he said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا الاستخارة في الأمور كلها كما يعلمنا سورة من القرآن. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach us al-istikhara in all our affairs, just like he taught us the Quran. Just like he taught us the Quran. And some of the scholars have said, what does this word "just like" mean? Is it just like meaning because of its importance? Yes, some of the scholars have said it's because of its importance. Others have said it's because you say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach the dua just like he taught the Quran, because he used to teach them word by word. He would say, recite this, and so the companions would recite them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. When we read this particular hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ said he used to teach them just like the surah of the Qur'an, it's because of the Qur'an is being read, the Qur'an is something that you read all the time. Or as Muslims, practicing Muslims, it's something that we always should be reading. And thus, istikhara is something that we are always in need of. We have decisions to make all the time. And sometimes we regret our decisions because we don't pray istikhara. And istikhara isn't just for marriage. It isn't just, most people think it's just for marriage or starting a business and so forth. No, and for any affair that you have doubts in and you don't know which one to decide. For example, you know, we have a lot of us, right? A lot of us, we are always regretful of the phone plan that we choose, right? Or the phone company. Should I pick Sprint, T-Mobile, or whatever? Right? Later on, they start charging all this money and so forth. SubhanAllah, maybe if we prayed istikhara in that time, we would have chose the right plan. With the right minutes and the right company that doesn't lie to steal our money all the time. So even in these affairs, and you can pray istikhara because you don't know what to decide upon. And if if we pray istikhara, inshallah subhanahu wa, you will have this divine compass and divine GPS which will guide you. And when we read more about istikhara, inshallah, we will see. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. He said, if one of you wants to do something, then let him make two rak'ahs of sunnah prayers besides the obligatory prayers. So you pray sunnah prayers and two rak'ahs of sunnah prayers, and then you make the istikhara. And some of the scholars have said you should make the istikhara inside the prayer before you get the taslim, and others have said you can say it afterwards. In other words, after the taslim, you say salamu alaykum, afterwards you can make istikhara. And so when the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ, when one of you wants or has a desire or he wants to do something and he's undecided. Now in the hadith, it says that the Prophet ﷺ taught al-istikhara fil umuri kulliha, in all the affairs. But we mentioned that not every single thing, like obligatory matters and so forth, we don't have to pray istikhara for. And also the matters that are very trivial, just the normal things, we don't need to pray istikhara for. Like for example, should I make steak today or should I make spaghetti? I mean, these are like little things that are not really trivial, you know, just trivial little things. You don't really have to pray istikhara for them. Anything that will maybe by making them, it has a lot of effect in your life and so forth, then maybe you can pray istikhara for it. But these little things about eating and drinking and so forth, you don't really have to pray istikhara for them. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. And then let him make two rak'ahs of sunnah prayers, meaning not obligatory prayers. And so if a person prays after prayer, if he makes his dua, this particular dua, after If he makes this particular dua after the tasneem, if he wants to, he can raise his hands. If he wants to, he can raise his hands and make dua. If he makes it inside the prayer before the tasneem, he makes it when he finishes the tashahud and the salat al-ibrahimiyyah, then he makes the salat al-istikhara. And afterwards, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثُمَّ لِيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْتَخِيرُكَ بِعِلْمِكَ وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And afterwards, when you pray your two rak'ahs, and another thing is, when you pray your two rak'ahs, the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that you don't pray in the times that prayer is forbidden. So you don't pray, for example, istikhara if it's after fajr prayer, or after asr prayer, or any times in which prayers are forbidden, that you don't pray istikhara. And even the Shafi'i scholars are of the opinion that if there's a reason for you to pray sunnahs, even in the times when you don't pray, when you're not allowed to pray, then you can pray if there's a reason. But they divided their reasons into three types. The reasons and the asbab are divided into three categories and three types. The first is the asbab, which is previous to that particular matter, which comes before that particular matter. For example, when the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّي رَكْعَتَيْنِ. When one of you enters the masjid, then let him not sit down until he prays two rak'ahs first. So if that particular action comes before the Salat al-Istikhara, of course even the Shafi'i scholars, they say you should, or it comes before that Salat in the times that were forbidden, then for them you should pray. Of course, majority of the scholars say you don't pray. Now in the middle, sometimes the reasons come at the same time, like Salatul Khusuf, the eclipse prayer. So eclipse is happening and you're praying at the same time. And then sometimes the action follows the prayer. So the scholars have said, if the action follows the prayer, then you don't pray. Even the Shafi'i scholars have mentioned this. You don't pray the Salatul Istikhara. You don't pray the Salat al-Istikhara, even if it's in the time when it's forbidden. Because the action in which you are going to do is after, not before the prayer. So if it's before, then there's a difference of opinion. But after, so in general, the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that you don't pray after Asr, you don't pray after Fajr, when you pray Salat al-Istikhara. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and then say these words, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. O Allah, I seek consultation with... Astakhiruka means to seek consultation or decisions that you are going to make with your knowledge. فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ وَلَا أَعْلَمْ. Because you know, O Allah, and I do not know. And وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And I ask for that you give me the ability and give me the strength to go forward with it by your strength. In other words, because we say that there's no strength and no might except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we say, وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I ask you from your great generosity or your great favors. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And indeed you are the all-knowing. You are the knower of the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the unseen. And part of the unseen, one of the knowledges of the unseen is something that is in the future. So anything in the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better than us. And so that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and show us the straight path and the way that will be most beneficial for us in this life and in the hereafter. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows the unseen, and He alone knows the future, and knows what will happen if we chose a particular decision. And then we say, Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, and then say, O Allah, if you know that this particular affair, and then in this area you mentioned that affair, or you mentioned that particular deed that you want to do or not. So in this area you would say, O Allah, if marriage to so-and-so is better, or going to traveling or starting this business is better, then you say, خَيْرًا لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي. It's better for me in this life and then hereafter, in my livelihood. وَعَقِبَةِ أَمْرِي. And also in the final affairs, in the end, it will always be better for me. فَقْدُرْهُ لِي. Then make it easy, فَقْدُرْهُ لِي means make it possible for me. Make it possible for me. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي. And then make it easy for me also. So make it possible for me. وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. And then give me barakah in it. Give me blessings in it. Because anything that we do, if there's no blessing, then there will be no good in it whatsoever. But if there's blessing in it, there will be continual goodness. There will be continual goodness. And this is the meaning of barakah. It's continual goodness. And it's goodness that will always be there, and from all aspects it will always be good for you. And then after that, we say that, oh Allah, if this particular affair is bad for me, if it's not good for me, then take me away from it and take it away from me. And then we say, oh Allah, make possible for me all the good that is possible, and then make me pleased with the decision you have given to me, or that you have chosen for me. So when we pray this istikhara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to choose the right path or to choose the right way. And from this, from the words of this of Salat al-Istikhara, the scholars have said that once you make it, how many times do you pray it, first of all? There's narrations that you should pray it 7 times, but most of the narrations are, as mentioned by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, these narrations are weak narrations, and they cannot be the basis of this of that. So, the time that you pray it, you should pray it, actually, some of the scholars have said you should pray it just one time. Just pray it and make your decision. Pray it and then make your decision. Make the decision according to what you think is best for you in this life and the hereafter. And even if you made the wrong decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you to the right one. Let's say, for example, you wanted to marry this particular brother or the particular sister. And you really wanted to marry her and you prayed istikhara. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely to guide you to that which is best for you. And then, of course, you saw her beauty or saw his so-and-so, and then you wanted to marry that particular person. And you chose that decision. And so you went forward with it. Now let's say if by marrying that person, in the end it will be bad for your deen. It will not be good for you. If that is going to be the case, even if you went forward with it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take her away. Something will happen that will cause that particular engagement or particular marriage, before it happens, Allah subhanahu will take it and not allow you to marry that person. So something will happen. Because why? Because we say, oh Allah, if this particular affair is not good for me in this life or in the hereafter, فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي. Take it away from me. Keep it far away from me. وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ. You can keep me far away from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you away from it. So from this hadith, when you pray istikhara, the understanding from it is, as soon as you finish praying, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just make your decision, because you have already put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, as I mentioned, if you haven't consulted with people yet, then consult with them. Maybe you might have made a decision to do such and such action, but then after consulting, that brother changed your mind or that sister changed your mind. That consultation is part of the istikhara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you consult this particular person, and this person told you not to do so, such and such action. And thus that would be part of the istikhara. That would be part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding you away from that particular affair, or guiding you closer to a particular affair. And thus, if we pray istikhara, and we just go for it, and just put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes, there are times in which we are not able to pray istikhara. Sometimes we're not able to pray istikhara because, like for example, for a woman, she might be in her menses. And if she's in her menses, she cannot pray. And thus, if this is the case, some of the scholars have mentioned that if the decision can wait, then she can wait until she is able to pray, and then she can pray the istikhara. And if she has to make the decision, if it's something that she has to make immediately, and they don't have time to do it, that particular, you don't have time to decide, and you only have maybe one day or a few hours, then just make a dua. Say the istikhara without the prayer. Because the istikhara itself is the dua. And the reason why we pray, some of the scholars say, one of the wisdoms that why we pray and then we make this dua, because, you know, by praying it opens up the doors of the heavens for us, and then after that we make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dua al-istikhara. And after making dua al-istikhara, you have to have in your heart the certainty, the yaqeen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you to that which is best. Have that certainty, have that belief in your heart that Allah will guide that which is best for you. Because that's part of iman. And if you have that certainty, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. And He will make you choose the correct decision, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Salat al-Istikhara can be prayed, as I mentioned, anytime. And after prayer, of course, if you memorize the Salat al-Istikhara, the dua of Istikhara, it is better for you. This is something that every Muslim should do. You have to memorize it. And if you, but if you don't memorize it, you can read from a piece of paper. You can read and make dua from that paper after you pray. Just hold up the piece of paper and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reading from the paper. And that's also permissible. And when we pray istikhara, there's another misconception that people have. They think that you have to see a dream. Or you have to pray three times or four times. Oh, if you see this particular dream, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just go for it. If you don't see a dream, keep on praying. And some people, they even, you know, I heard of a brother, he said he prays istikhara. And before he goes to sleep, he puts two pieces of paper under his pillow. Do, don't do. After he prays istikhara, he goes to sleep, he wakes up in the morning, and he takes out one of these papers. Do or not do. If it says do, then he'll do it. Without any thinking whatsoever. And this is the same as somebody, almost similar to those people who do, you know, who pick lots and so forth. You don't really have to do that. Just make your decision, whatever you think. But you have to be sincere in your heart and make the decision that you think will be best for you in this life and in the hereafter. You know, sometimes you have a very strong inclination towards this particular decision. You really want it. Let's say you really want this, you want to marry this particular sister or this particular brother, but you know, they don't really have good manners or their deen isn't very strong and so forth, but man, she's beautiful. Right? And like you have this that strong inclination towards that particular area. So, but you know yourself, you know, like, you know, subhanAllah, if I get married to her, I don't think it would be good for my deen. So you already know in your heart that, you know, in your heart that, you know, actually not marrying her or marrying that particular person is better for you, for your deen. So pick that one and be sincere. So know, and that's what Imam An-Nawawi said. He mentioned that when you pray istikhara, just be sincere. And first, just pick the decision you think will be best for you in this life and in the hereafter. And sometimes, you know, you'll be inclined to making a certain decision. And afterwards, after praying istikhara, you see the opposite. And of course, this is, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't have to wait for a dream. You don't have to wait for somebody else's dream. Sometimes we go, oh, mother, did you wake up in the morning. Mother, did you see any dream? You ask your dad, you ask your sister, does anybody see a dream about this decision that I'm going to make or not? No. You don't have to wait for that. You just go forward with it and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars have said that, you know, you should repeat the istikhara, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that you don't really have to repeat the istikhara. Just make istikhara and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go for it. Now, when making istikhara also, when we make Salat al-Istikhara, we pray the Istikhara prayer, and we have, some of the scholars have mentioned, you have to have the intention of the Istikhara before you pray that particular Sunnah. And it could be combined with another Sunnah. Like for example, let's say you're going to the Masjid, and you're about to enter the Masjid. So you can combine your Salat al-Tahiyyatul Masjid let's say, the greeting of the masjid with the salat al-istikhara, with salat al-istikhara. So when you're praying the tahiyyat al-masjid, you have the same intent, you have the intention that afterwards or at the end of that prayer, you will make it an istikhara prayer and a tahiyyat al-masjid prayer. Or you can make it maybe a witr prayer in the middle, you know, the two rakahs before you pray the final rakah, or any sunnah prayers, you can combine with them. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So, but you have to have this particular intention before. And some scholars have said you don't even have to have it as long as it's a sunnah prayer. After each sunnah prayer, you can just make istikhara. And so when we're buying anything, again, next time when you go buy a car, you know, car is something that, especially buying used cars, right? But you know, the new cars have these guarantees, so it's a little more. But you still should pray istikhara because you have to choose which car is better and so forth, right? But especially buying used cars, when you pray istikhara, maybe that person might not tell you that there's faults with that car or there are defects in the engine or somewhere else. And then later on you drive it for 2 or 3 months and you find out, well, there's a, like the transmission was about to be blown or something like that. But if you were to pray istikhara, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose for you, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will help you in that particular decision. And if you're in the mall or if you're buying something, because sometimes there's no time or sometimes there's no place, but you need to buy. You're not gonna, you know, you don't want to go back home. Let's say you're at the mall already and you don't know if you should buy this or that. And it's something very important for you. It's something good. But if you're buying something that's haram, for example, you don't pray istikhara on that. Should I buy a TV or not? You know the TV is bad, so you put it aside. You don't have to pray istikhara for that. And so you can actually just make the dua if you don't have the time or the place to pray. And your time frame for making that decision is very limited. So you just make the dua right there. Just face the qibla. If you want, you can raise your hand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the dua al-istikhara, inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, that istikhara prayer, if a person prays istikhara, inshaAllah, this is something that helps you also to increase your iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything that happens to you, sometimes immediately you might make that a particular decision. You might have made that particular decision, and you know your heart, like you feel like, oh, I should have made the other one and so forth. This part of istikhara is that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you pleased with a particular decision. And sometimes that decision that you are making, that you have just made, you might think that it's bad for you. And there are so many bad things that are happening to you. You know, there are so many things that are happening to you, and you might think that it's bad for you. And you might not realize that it's actually good for you until maybe 10 years from now. Maybe 5 or 6 or 7 or 7 years from now. That you'll realize that is good for you. You know, like for example, I've just given, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, end it with a personal example in my own life. When I graduated, after graduating from Medina, I never even thought about going to Cambodia or Vietnam. But, you know, one of my teachers, he told me, you know, you actually should go there because the people are really in need. And you know, growing up in America, and you're going to go to Cambodia, and you know, it's like total opposite. There's no water, there's no electricity, and there are no roads, hardly any roads, it's dusty. No telephone. I mean, you're going to I used to call it Akhir Dunya, this is the end of the world. If this is not the end of the world, then there's no end to this world. This is it. There's nothing after this. You just look and that's nothing after it. And I mean, who would go there, you know? Like, leave all this and you just go there. And, you know, really, I really didn't want to go. But I said, inshallah, let me just pray istikhara. Should I go or not? And when I prayed istikhara, it just came upon me. I said, no, this is something that's obligatory upon me. I have to go. And so I went. You know, I went. And alhamdulillah, when I went, mashallah, you know, it's like I learned so much from it. I even got married from there, so. And alhamdulillah, even though I don't have my wife with me, even all the problems that have occurred and so forth, after 10 years, you know, even there were so many problems that happened also, but after 10 years, you say, subhanAlhamdulillah, that was the best decision ever. That was it, that decision. Even though at the beginning, I didn't even want to go, really. You know, it was like 90-10. But I just prayed it, and then afterwards, it was like the opposite. It was 90-10 the other way that I had to go. Like immediately after I put my hands down, it was like, that's it. I have to do this. So, and then subhanAllah, you know, during the middle, you start thinking, man, was that really the right decision? Because it's really difficult. But at the end, subhanAllah, you learn so much from it that you say, alhamdulillah. And so many things happen because of it. And you say, alhamdulillah, that I win. So, you know, the istikhara prayer, you might not realize that it was good for you until maybe in the end. And in the end, you might not even realize that it will be good for you until you enter Jannah. Say, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, I made this particular decision because it was good for me. All those trials and tribulations and so forth, I am getting it right now. And I wish more of that happened. Like all these trials and tribulations, more of that would have happened in this life because of the reward that you are getting, inshallah. So pray istikhara. مَا نَدِمَ مَنْ اِسْتِخَارَ وَاسْتَشَارَ. You will never regret if you pray istikhara and you consult. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.